union. Electronic doesn't. Yeah. Okay, today's daf is daf Lamed Chet, which we hope we'll see a little bit of today, but it doesn't look good. So, yesterday we learned about the pasuk, the list of psukim that came to tell us all types of halachas legabe. First come legabe rabbi mine, and then a number of psukim that we needed to tell us that you cannot accept kofar. And we had extra psukim of all types of situations, kofar b'mesid and kofar on a shergeg, and then we had the question of why we need cherem and kol cherem in the diak of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. And we said that the nafkamina would be for derech aliyah and derech yerida, and for the types of chiyav nisa that get kapara and chiyav nisa that don't get kapara. So we ended up with a lot of distinctions. The type of chiyav nisa of ritzicha that is at least actually shayach, had it been done b'shogeg, to getting a kapara through galut, is where it's derech yerida. But if it was derech aliyah, even though ritzicha in general is shayach to a kapara, but in that particular case, there would be no shechut to kapara, and therefore we would waste one of our drushes on that in order to be able to get to the bottom of it. The problem was, and we're up to today, in the fourth line, the problem was that the difference between derech aliyah and derech yirida, for which we're claiming we need an additional diuk of kol, instead of just cherem b'yisrael lo yipadeh, kol cherem b'yisrael lo yipadeh, is itself derivable from one of the drushes that we started off way back at the beginning in the dinim of kamalei ben rabba minim. And that is, Amalei Rava, I thought we could derive that min a Tana de Vechizkiah. Because it's true that the Tana de Vechizkiah was not coming to address this particular question. He was coming to talk about it in a Kimli ben Rava meaning. However, as we've seen, there's a strange resemblance between the phrasing of the elements of the Psukim about Kimli ben Rava meaning and those aspects of the Pasuk that are not coming to tell me you don't die and pay, but you can't pay to get out of death. Those two things now really worked in tandem. We need a psukim to tell me one, a psukim to tell me the other, and all of the cases that we could distinguish in one, we could distinguish in the other. Therefore, says Rav, is it not true that once we had that famous hekesh of Makeh Adam and Makeh Behemah, and it told us that we do not have rights to start making these distinctions? So then, I mean, it's all there. Don't make distinctions, whether it comes to the dinim of Kimlei ben Rabbi Minei, or whether it comes to the halacha of not accepting, so to speak, kofar, lenefesh, whatever it is, or rotzeach, or whatever the chiyav of misa is. And therefore, the derech aliyah, derech yirida, which we never recognized how important it was in the initial phrasing of the Tana de Vechizkiah, which wasn't even talking about elements of aliyah and yirida and galut, suddenly become very meaningful, and they seem to undermine the way that we were trying to explain yesterday Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Because we could see, the Tana de Vechizkiah, makeh adam, umakeh be'iman. That refers to the posik makeh be'ima yishamena, umakeh adam yamut, which was very strange to put those two things together in that fashion. So it's coming to tell me just like makeh beima lo chilakta bo ben shogeg lemezid ben mitkaven l'sheino mitkaven ben derech yiridala derech aliyah lepotromi mamon. You never find any way to potter a person from payment of mamon because of some distinction in his level of awareness or intent and so on. Certainly the direction in which he's going. And you're always ela l'chai bo mamon af makeh adam lo tachalok bo ben shogeg lemezid ben mitkaven l'sheino mitkaven ben derech yirida l'derech aliyah l'chai bo mamon. So the same way we're saying the makeh adam, the pashtus of the meaning of the Tana de Vechizkiah, just like over there it says makeh adam, in which it's yumat, meaning and not yishalem, that would be true under any and all circumstances, whether lemaisa we're going to kill him or not going to kill him, or whether there could be the possibility of the chiyav galut or not chiyav galut, which seems to be irrelevant until we take into consideration. That's true, but it does have very important implications in terms of the other side of the coin, which is, could we accept money in lieu of the chiyav of misa? So whatever it is, it certainly seems to include the extra drush of cherem kol cherem that we were trying to say yesterday would be justified by the need to distinguish between derech aliyah and derech yirida. And here we say we don't make such a distinction. It's a hekesh. And what then is the reason now for that extra posik? Elo amar Rami Bar Chama, it's there. Says Rami Bar Chama, look, you know what? We do need one of these psukim to tell me. Now, there's a little bit of a problem here, because Ella seems to be saying, let's take a different approach, which the Pashas would mean, let's take a different approach in the explanation of Cherem and Kol Cherem. but of course in line of what Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher Yochanan Baruch said, namely, in why we would need an explicit to tell me that you can't accept kosher for whatever it is, derech aliyah, derech yerida, however you were going to explain it. And yet, instead of doing that, Rami Bar Chama seems to take a different tact in the need for psukim when it comes to kimle b'derabimine, which is very strange, because that's not what we were talking about at all. And because of that, many Rishonim learn this. The Rashba asked this question as brought in Tosfos. But the Pashtus, the way Rashi seems to understand it, at least the way the Mefarshim of Rashi seem to understand Rashi, is that Rami Bar Chama is saying, once I could justify for you the need to have a special limud when it comes to the din of Kimle B'Rab Aminei, then perhaps that's limited to tell me the din of Kimle B'Rab Aminei. We wouldn't be able to jump into the Tanit of Rabbi Yishmael. And since Sarka Daitach Amina, Ani Mili Echad Esima Teino V'Hargoba, Aval Echad Esima Teino V'Hargoba Davar Acher, Ema Nishko Mamona Aminei. Look, in a place where we've made this distinction all along, we have times where there's a kimle b'derab aminei that one act was mechayevim for two different things, and we have times where we have a kimle b'derab aminei which is simultaneous but doesn't seem to be innate in the act. So if a guy shoots someone through the eye and kills him, so he also destroyed his eye. So I understand that under those circumstances he's not going to pay for his eye. But under, how about in a case where it was something else entirely different? I mean, he blinds him, at the same time he stabs him in the heart. I mean, so maybe at that point we've got two separate chiyuvim. So for that I need an extra posik. Once I need it for that, so then who's to say that this posik is coming to tell me an overall halacha of not accepting kofar? Or, if it is, if it has such implications, maybe the implications are indeed limited to such cases. Omar Lei Rava. No, that's not going to help you much. Because you're ignoring another drush of the Tana de Vechizkia. Hai nani ni idach Tana de Vechizkia nach. The Tana de Vechizkia, there's also another famous drush of the Tana de Vechizkia on the posik of Ayin Tachat Ayin, which of course always intrigues us because it sure sounds like it's meant as an eye for an eye, right? And we have all types of approaches in Baba Kama. How really do we know that Ayin Tachat Ayin doesn't know what it means? Doesn't mean what it says. So the Tana de Vechizkia says, the simple reason that we know that it can't be an ayin tachat ayin is that ipso facto, it makes no sense. If you're going to tell me ayin tachat ayin and nothing else, I only want an eye for an eye, so then it's telling you velo ayin v'nefesh tachat ayin. You cannot kill the guy, which is always a risk in taking out his eye. No matter how you're going to take out his eye, there's going to be an additional factor in which you're exposing him to risk of death. But the Torah is telling you only ayin tachat ayin. So how could you take that additional risk? Okay, now it's true that that's not really coming to address the issue of kimle b'derab aminei or of kofar or anything else, but it's certainly an implication of it, that in the same way that it says ayin tachat ayin velo ayin v'nefesh tachat ayin, that would be true even in cases where there would be another reason to be notel et nafsho, let's say kill the guy, besides the ayin tachat ayin, and saying also don't do two things, then don't do an ayin tachat ayin plus. So in which case I now know, now, one pasuk would be coming to tell me that in a case where it was all part of the same act, so let's say indeed the guy shot someone through the eye. So there the ayin, tachat ayin, l'chara would mean ayin plus the way I took out his ayin was also killing him. So you say, okay, so then do both. No, ayin, tachat ayin. So then that's telling me at least that you can't do both ayin, v'nefesh, tachat ayin, it's one or the other. In which case, one of these rushes of Tanit HaVechizkia is still going to be extra. And now I've got the question of what we do with the Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher Yochanan ben Baruch. Elo Amar Rav Ashi, Yitzchak. You know what? Everybody's come up with explanations. We have Malkus Momon, Misa Momon, Malkus Misa, Nafkaminas of Tashlumin as a pidyon type of thing, cases where there would be a Chiyav, even Bishkaga, where there would be no Chiyav Bishkaga, there would be a Nafkamina, Vali and Arid, but you all forget. And the Nafkamina, obviously, between things that come as part of the same Chiyav and things that come as different Chiyav, as Rabbi Meir pointed out. Lo Hashem, maybe Yoli Day. But nobody talked about the other problem. How about the fact that we're dealing with Knas? Now, we know perfectly well that according to Rabbi Meir, the way that Rava explained it earlier, there's a big nafkamina, because when it comes to knas, over there we say chidishu shechichat Torah, and you'd even be miktal u'mishalim. Now, those who don't hold to that, where do they know that that's not true? Do we not need special psukim to tell me what the din would be of a knas in these circumstances? I say that's the extra pasuk here. Elam Ravachi Yitzre, Salkadatech Amina, Hovichidushu Shechichat Torah B'knas. We had that whole discussion about payments of Arba'ah V'chamishah, if they come together on Shabbos with something else, if for the knas component I would be high, if it's only for the Karen component that I'm put there. So we had all the cases where, what if I was high of the Karen component before, then I wouldn't have the way out of saying Arba'ah V'chamishah M'lo Torah V'lo Shoshav Arba'ah. It's a big sugya we had before. So those who don't hold of this, I mean, where did they know that we wouldn't say, I forgot the Nikta on the Shai. That even though the guy is going to actually be killed, but forget about the other cases, but how about actual Misa? Therefore, come along now, the extra person could tell me, even if we'd be talking about a Knas, there's also a Dinah Kimle B'Rabba Minei. I'm going to write it myself. Give me that. Please pass me that that paper. Pad of paper. The pad of paper. Right there on your left. On your left. Fine. But that explains the whole thing, yeah, except for one thing. How about Rabbah, who says that's not true? How about Rabbah says, you would be Mikvalu Mishali? How about according to him? And we certainly don't need a person to tell me that you're not Mikvalu Mishali, because you are Mikvalu Mishali. By the way, when we say that this was Rabbah, we don't necessarily mean, as was pointed out earlier, at the point of the sugya where Rabbah was explaining Rebbe Meir, that it doesn't really mean that Rabbi personally necessarily has to hold it, but this was Rabbi's explanation in Rebbe Meir. So, I mean, what it means is in that approach, so what would you say? So now we're back to the question, so I don't need an extra pasuk to tell me the halacha that there's a din of kimle bit Rabbi Minei even by Knas. So then what would the meaning be of that additional verse we've never been able to explain, Kolcher? My Ovidla. So what indeed would he say? No, that's not a problem. Gentlemen, you forgot the whole series of events that led to this impasse. The series of events began with, what about if you hold that Kol Cheren is not referring to the case where the guy is being led out to his execution, Lo Yipadeh, there is no Chalot of Pidyon. So he said, what are you going to do if you hold, in fact, that he is a Bar Pidyon? Like Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya? So then we got into the other drasha. What else we could do with Kocher? But Lamaisa, the simple way out of this is to say, we started off this sugya without this problem at all, because we understood that the meaning of Lo Yipadeh by Kocher is simply a reference to a guy that wants to pay erech of an individual who's being led to execution. Comes along the post and says he's not going to have to pay Lo Yipadeh. Ask the Gemara, and what if you hold that yes, Yipadeh? So what's the meaning of the Lo Yipadeh of the Cherem? So that's when we got into the whole problem of the Rebbe Yisrael and Asher and Yochanan ben Barocha. But if Lamaisa, those who hold that the Cherem, I mean that the Knas would be paid together with Misa, and therefore you're saying, so we have one Pusik that is extra, because you say we don't pot to you for Kilmei B'Rabbi Minei. What do we do with that extra Pusik? What was the extra Pusik? Kol Cherem Ba'adam, Lo Yipadeh. What do you mean? That's referring to a guy who was being led to execution, and somebody was ma'arich. Lo Yipadeh. There's no erech. But what about Reb Chanan ben Akav? I don't hold a Reb Chanan ben Akav. So it's anyone who would hold that the din of Knas does not have a kimle ben Rabbi Minei would have to hold like the Tanakama of the Reb Chanan ben Akav. And therefore, all the psukim are accounted for. It's only if you hold both things that the Lo Yipadeh cannot be referring to someone who made an error, and you also hold that a knas does not have a din of kimle b'rabba minei. So those two things leave you with an extra pasuk. So you can't hold both of them. That's all that we're coming out with. But go one of them, everything is okay. So it turns out now that we need different psukim for each one of these categories, and possibly a pasuk that comes also to exclude knas in cases of kimle b'rabba minei also. Or possibly a pasuk that comes to tell me that there's no din of erech on a case where somebody has no dummy.
Took the highly commissioner.
I don't know this, how this whole room looks like it's heading for vacations. Richie's got one foot in New York. Our good doctor is already in Basque country, I think he's polishing up his accent. Jonathan, you want to make a comment to yourself, by the way?
No.
You mean you think you can fool yourself?
At that time in the morning, I think I could.
He's heading out already to South Africa. There you go. There you go. Okay. All right, Rabati, come on. What do you got for
that? Just here for another 3 weeks.
Another 3 weeks. Mendel, you're always trustworthy. You wouldn't go. You wouldn't go anywhere. So I don't know. What about if we change venues to the Bahamas?
I rarely go anywhere.
I mean, would you then all be willing to cancel if we make it a class trip to the Bahamas?
Well, the Bahamas, now we're talking.
And Devin, what are your plans?
I'm not going to just work.
Okay, let's try the Mishnah while we can. Every moment of life is important. Go ahead.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Narash and it arsa venit garsha. A very interesting word in that posik that we never really looked at carefully. Nara bitula asher lo orasa. What in the heck is that supposed to mean? Asher lo orasa. Weird. We never like, thought about it. So how about if she had been orasa? And she got divorced. She never slept with anybody. She's still a bitula. All that happened is her father accepted kiddushin for her. And then that ended in divorce. The guy died. And she wasn't Yotza Mirushut Avia because she wasn't Nisuah, so he still had the rights to bring her to the Chopah. She never made it to the Chopah. No, now somebody goes and rapes her. Is he paying Knas or not? The Torah seems to be saying Ashelo Orasa for some weird reason. It doesn't have, in any other case, we'd see any halachic implications of the fact that she was Orasa. There's no psychological implications, maybe the Gabi Ksuva, but where do we see such a thing? So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, a Nara who went through an Erison and ended up with a divorce. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, look, I mean, the Pasuk says, Ashelo Arasa, and la Knas. Rabbi Akiva Omer doesn't mean that. Yesh la Knas. Well, what did Harrison have to do with the Knas? The Chiddush of the Torah is that even though normally she wouldn't be Yotzi Mershut Aviyah from an Harrison, and the rest of the Pasuk says, Natan la Aviyah Nara, in this case, Ashelo Arasa, they're Natan la Aviyah Nara, but if not, she gets it herself. She doesn't get it at all. My time in Rabbi Yossi says the Gemara. Amar Krasha Lo Orasa. What do you want? Well, all he's doing is saying what the Torah said beferish. Ha Orasa and La Knas. I mean, that's what it says. Without Erisin, no Knas. Rabbi Akiva. Asher Lo Orasa. True. Then Vinatan La Avi. Then it's a dinner giving to her father. Ha Orasa. But if she would have been a Nara who had gone through Erisin, then it goes to herself. Oh, gee, that's brilliant. Okay. So then we could say that about all the drushes of the puzzle. She is supposed to be a Nara, not a Bogeret. That doesn't mean a Bogeret doesn't get a Knas, means she keeps the Knas. She is supposed to be a Betula, not a Bula. That doesn't mean a Bula doesn't get a Knas, means she keeps the Knas. Why not? I understand. You've got three things in the Pasuk that are telling you specifically this case. Lo Orasa, Nara, and Betula. So for one of them you choose at random. It doesn't mean she's not included in a Knas, it means it doesn't go to the front. But the others you decide it means it's not included at all. But it's there, that's completely arbitrary. So let's say no. It means she gets a knas, but she gets it for herself. Bitula, velo bula. Same thing. It goes to her. That's what you're going to say? I mean, Ella, you admit that the meaning of those two things, we never found any time that argued about that, that a bogeret has a knas, or that a bula gets a knas. I mean, so obviously you admit that the meaning of the pasuk is legamre. That defines the set of narot of knas. So why isn't the point about lo orasa also definitive?
Like all or none? Legamre?
It's not a question of all or none, it's a question of what is the context of the pasuk. Is it coming to tell me the din of knas, or coming to tell me where to pay the knas? You can't have it both ways. So if you're ready to agree that two out of three of them are coming to tell me that there's no din of knas, why is the third one saying, no, there is a din of knas, but the pasuk was only telling you to pay it to? This doesn't make any sense. I mean, if anything, the part about Nara v'lo bogeret should have been darshan that way. The difference between a Nara and a bogeret is that a bogeret doesn't have an avi. Legally. So she would get it herself. I mean, even that you're not ready to say. So how did all of a sudden the part about the Nara Ashalo Oras of all crazy things, which doesn't have really legal implications in terms of the father's rights, all of a sudden it means she gets the Knas? Amalek Rabbi Akiva. I'll tell you why. It's not arbitrary. The Ashalo Oras is not coming to tell me the dinim of who. I need it for all other halach. So according to Rabbi Yosef, it means what it says. But as the Braita explains, Rabbi Akiva Shita, although this is not consistent with Rabbi Akiva Shita in the mission, we're going to ask that in a moment. Rabbi Akiva Omer Yesh La Knas, not only does she get a Knas, the Knas goes to her father. And it doesn't exclude anything. I mean, Adino Tein, Ho'il Ve'avia Zakai Be'Kesek Kedushah. I mean, don't ask on me. Shouldn't it go to herself? Of course not. Because her father still has a right now to her Kesef. Even though she ended a divorce, she still has a father. If he takes now a new husband, he gets the right to Kesef Kedushah. In which case, Avia should also be Zakai to Kesef Kenasah. Again, this is the opposite of what Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah. So just like Kesef Kedushah, it doesn't matter whether she was Nitar Seven Nitgar Shah, it still goes Le'avia. So Kesef Kenasah also, Hapapish Nitar Seven Nitgar Shah, Le'avia. And here we come to the meaningful part of this bride that we've been waiting for. In Cain, Ma Tamud Omar Asher Lo Orasa, what then do I, Rabbi Akiva, say is the purpose and meaning of the words Asher Lo Orasa? It's specifically coming to tell you nothing. And what is the purpose of telling me nothing? To have an extra word to use for Xerah Shavah, obviously. Always the best thing to do with a word that tells you nothing. That need to have it mufna. It has to be extra. Lahakishlo. V'ladune menu Xerah Shavah. Ne'amar kana shelo orasa. Look, we remember that we have two separate parshios that are very, very similar. One for seduction, one for rape. But there's some serious differences between them. First of all, the serious difference in the halacha. When it comes to the parsha of the ones, he needs to pay the knas under any circumstances and keep her as a wife. When it comes to the din of the mefata, he only pays the knas in cases where there is no marriage. That's one important difference. The other is a difference which, if it wouldn't have been for Rabbi Akiva's word, the extra word, orasa, would have been very, very significant. Because in the case of the kimo harabetulot of a mefata. I mean, so it doesn't say exactly what that is. Natan la vianara. What exactly is that? Kesev yishko kimo harabetulot. What is the mo harabetulot? On the other hand, v'natan la vianara hamishim kesev doesn't tell us what kesev. Is that local coinage? Is it the kesev of the mentioned in the Torah of the shekel? What exactly is it? So therefore, if you put the two together, they complement each other. Yishko clearly means shekel, so chamishim kesev would be shekel chamishim for both the nara, the mefuta, and the nara, the anusa. So from the extra word asher lo orasa, which appears in both places, by mefata it says chiyafata ish betula asher lo orasa v'shachavima, by the onus it says chiyimtza ish nara betula asher lo orasa v'tafsa. Both of these things are now compared to each other to tell me kesev yishko shkalim is the chamishim shekel, and the chamishim kesev is the kesev yishko, and we now know that it's chamishim in both cases. So nemar kan asher lo orasa, nemar lan asher lo orasa, makan chamishim, afkan chamishim. And not only that, Mala Alan Shikalim, which says Beferish Kesev Yishko by the Mefata. Therefore, Afkan by the Onis, where it says the Chamishim, it means Chamishim Shikalim. So that's what I need Asher Lo Orasa for. Don't ask me now. Lo Orasa should mean that only if she didn't have. Does that make sense? Does it fit into any normative approach that we found anywhere else that Erison should make an Afkamin El Halacha? So it can't mean what it's saying. So that all that it's there for is something like Zera Shava. Otherwise, it's absurd. Where, since when does Erison become an important topic?
Well, the important thing, Erison, we would assume, is that some after Erison is Nisa rather than a...
But if she's not, she's currently divorced.
Because that's a middle ground, usually.
So if she was an Arusa, I don't need this pasuk to tell me that then Akim Levit Rabbi, eh? I don't really know Akim Levit Rabbi. We're going to get to this, a little bit of your sworn on the basis. Aaron, this water is quite cold. Doubly dangerous.
Tea time.
Aaron doesn't fear tea time. Fine, that's what I use it for. Says the Gemara. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things you could have learned the heck of the Gzera Shava from. I mean, Rabbi Akiva, my chazit to dasher lo orasa, the Gzera Shava. Look, let's think about this again globally. Okay, we started off with the question of we've got three issues in this pasuk. First of all, she needs to be a nar. Secondly, she needs to be a betula. Thirdly, she needs to be asher lo orasa. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva decided that the one that isn't telling us anything is the asher lo orasa, and that's there for the gzera shava. I got a better idea. The one that isn't telling us anything is the betula. The betula is extra. So the two betulot come to tell me shekel and chamishim. Put them together, we now know chamishim shekel for both an ones and a mefateh. And you say, so why did the Torah mention the betula? Come now, come now. It's not telling us anything. It's only there to teach us a gzeira shavah to tell me chamishim shekel. I mean, anyway, you're picking things out of the hat. We're claiming that it's all arbitrary. You tried to make it sound like it's no, it's very meaningful. You could have chosen the other way around also. So who's to say that the betula is lema'utei ba'ula? Why not say that the betula in both cases is not mamayit ba'ula? Actually, ba'ula gets a knas, both by ones and mefata. The only reason it says betula is for gzeira shavah. The Ashelo Razan, oh, now that's telling me, but not a Nara who had once been a Narusa, but it garsha. That makes just as much sense. Well, it doesn't make just as much sense. I mean, Mistavra, Ashelo Orasa, the Gzera Shava. Sharei Ani Koreba Nara Betula. Doesn't it make more sense to be able to fulfill the conditions of Nara Betula, even if she's Orasa or not Orasa? Then to say it the other way around, it does. I could say exactly the same argument. Betula is gzeira shava because at least we can be mekayim that important condition of asher lo rasa. I mean, you start off with the assumption, and what's the important condition? And then you tell me, we certainly wouldn't want to violate that important condition. This is a very bootstrap operation, no? Well, not really. Because, I mean, if you think about it, which one is more reasonable? That the betula versus the bu'ula is significant, or that the having once been an arusa is significant? I mean, isn't it more significant to say that the difference between a betula and a bu'ula is a measurable, permanent difference? It's a shtani gufa. There's a change in her physical makeup. Masha'in came, what, her legal, I mean, it's not even currently a legal issue, but it appears somewhere in the records. I mean, lo yishtani guf, there was no change, and therefore it's unlikely that the Torah is going to be makpid more about the orasa or lo orasa somewhere back in her history, and that's what's serious, but the ba'ula and betula isn't serious, and nobody's going to think that. So therefore, if you got a choice, and we know that the Tosef says, what do you mean you got a choice? Why do you have a choice? Who's to say that? Why are we violating the simple meaning to create a hekesh? So in other words, from somewhere or other, it's got to be a given. Perhaps from the fact that the Torah created this weird situation in which I'm given half of the information in a mefuta and half of the information in anusa. So the Gemara either takes it for granted or has a Kabbalah. There's got to be something that unites those two parshiot. Because the Kesef Yishkol has got to get together with the Chamishim somehow, and we don't know how to get it together unless we create a Gzera Shava. So the only question is, which one is the Gzera Shava? That's the point. It's an interesting idea. That what it means. It means normally we say, no, I don't know, Gzera Shava Miatzvah. Over here, we seem to give you all kinds of options. I mean, what are the options? Which one were you Makabah? I mean, if we're going to say that the Gemara knows innately, not necessarily the way we often find, as we often find, that there's a Gzera Shava in terms of the knowledge of a word, but rather over here, we know that there's a Gzera Shava in the Sugya, that has to unite the two Sugyas. It's a whole different issue. But it's a very interesting point. Yeah, but we certainly couldn't make an argument like this, Mistavra, unless we first have a given. Look, we need to unite the two sugyas with the Gzera Shava. The only question is the word Ashelo Arasa, is the word Betula? Okay, then I can start analyzing which one makes more sense. So, therefore, it makes more sense, as Rabbi Akiva, that the Bu'ula, of course, it would be excluded by a Betula, rather than to say that the question of whether there was a divorce in her past is going to be meaningful in terms of Onis and Mefata. Rabbi Yosef Haglili, though, he learns that all three are meaningful. Betula velo bu'ula, asher lo orasa, but not someone who was orasa, and also the Nara versus the Bogeret. So now he doesn't have the missing link. What links the two psukim of Ones Mefata? I swore, I mean, only, how does he know the din that chamishim means shekel and shekel means chamishim? You know that. We had that earlier in the Masechta. Midatanya, kesev yishkol kimoar habetulot, that the pasuk is telling me, sheyehei, ze kimoar habetulot, umoar habetulot kazeh. It basically was the drasha that we had earlier on from the kesev. Okay, fine. Didn't you just say over Rabbi Akiva that completely contradicts Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah? I mean, everybody was keeping quiet about this, but can we take it out from underneath the carpet? What about the Kasha Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah says Yesh la Knas, but Knas la Atzma, because of course the Arusa means something or other, and then you have the other Rabbi Akiva in the Braita that says that actually it doesn't mean anything. And really, the father gets a knas just like he always does, and it's only there in order to tell me that it's mufna and the din of chamishim shekel. Yeah. Look, I mean, there's no way out of that. There's definitely a contradiction here. I mean, it's straight tanoyali, but Rabbi Akiva. Did Anthony do that beard, or did your other barber do that beard?
Anthony.
Well, he must have injected something at the same time.
Tied him up?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Rick
Van Winkle.
Yeah, I'm going to have a word with Anthony.
Yeah.
Now, it's two tanoim alibi Rabbi Akiva, but I'm a little confused. Remember how we started off? We started off by asking, and according to Rabbi Akiva, how is it inconsistent? We said, well, because actually Rabbi Akiva needs it for the following. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva came along and needed it for the following. Very nice. Yet in the Mishnah, it still is meaningful in the context of the pasuk. Because in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva is not denying that Asher lo Rasa doesn't have some kind of simple pshat. Asher lo Rasa means what it says. Except that it doesn't come to exclude you from knas. For that, it's mufna. But its presence in the pasuk is not a lie. It's not that Anara, who is Orasa, isn't different in some way. She's different. She's not included in this pasuk. But only vis-a-vis the question of who receives the knas. But the knas is definitely there. So I'm not lying to you when I say Anara Asher lo. But the way that Rabbi Akiva was brought in the braita that we were using to explain what you do with the Asher lo Orasa, he seems to be taking a pasuk, ripping out a word, saying despite the fact that the pasuk says it's only an Anara Asher lo, it doesn't mean that. It's a lie. It's only there to fool you and to make you realize it's Gzeira Shava. That's crazy. You can't, if you have an option of leaving the word in the pasuk in a way that's meaningful, why in the world would he turn the pasuk into a lie? To Bishlem, Rabbi Akiva de Matnitin. Lo at Gzeira Shava, Mavkele Lekrami Pashte Legamre. In the Mishnah, the Gzeira Shava doesn't come to actually contradict the simple meaning of the pasuk. It's only telling us that the meaning in the pasuk is limited. You would have thought that it meant that she doesn't get a knas at all. Kamash v'no, she gets a knas, but it's not, it doesn't follow the rules of the pasuk to give to the father if she's orasa. So at least it makes a great deal of sense to say it. But the way that the Braita, the way Rabbi Akiva and the Braita, or Rabbi Akiva and the Braita, it comes out that the Gzeira Shava is completely contradicting the simple meaning of the verse. The pasuk says, only an Arasha lo Rasa should be, to have a knas and be given to the father. And Rabbi Akiva says, even if she was a Rasa, she should get a knas and be given to the father. How is that going to work out in the simple meaning of the words? Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchak, that's because there's a way to fit it in. The way to fit it in, as Rav Mati suggested earlier, there's also the additional implication of being in a state of erison currently. So, koribe asher lo arusa. In other words, this also comes in not orasa at some point in the past, but a woman who never got engaged and not currently engaged. That's the point. So it's not coming to say never in the past was she engaged. It's saying she didn't get engaged, and therefore she's not engaged now. I use the word engaged, obviously, loosely. It means accepted Kedushin. So it was never acceptance of Kedushin. It's coming to me, if there was acceptance of Kedushin, then there's no din of knas. See, well, but that's ridiculous. Obviously, I mean, an arusa is a batski lying. I mean, so he'd be chayiv anyway. We already have all the... We just spent half the pasuk getting to Kimlei B'Rabim, and you're telling me the pasuk has to tell me again? Asher lo arusa? In order to tell me the Ptura Kimlei B'Rabim? Yes, because, again, we find a beautiful example of a Gemara that introduces the Mishnah with a piece of information that is significant in the Mishnah. All of the cases that we had for Kimlei B'Rabimine were cases where we had Mormon, whether it's the same Meiser, whether it's a different Meiser, but how about Knas? So, Sarkadatech Amina Oil V'chidushu Shechichatara V'Knas Afagav the Miktel Mishalem. Therefore, I need the Pasuk to tell me Asher Lo Arusa currently, so that you should know if Lamaisa he raped a married Nara, there would be no Tashlumim of Knas, which comes to tell me Kimlei B'Rabimineh, even by Knas. And how about according to Rabbah, the Amar Chidushu Shechichat to Rabbi Knas, and it's the way that he explained Rabbi Meir, so then we don't need this Pasuk, because it isn't even true. So why, according to him now, would the Pasuk have said, Alibin Rabbi Akiva, Asher Lo Arusa, to Michael Amemar? He doesn't know that Rabbi Akiva and the Braisa, Rabbi's sister works out like Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah, so now everybody's happy. Tan Rabban, Knasala mi liavia, v'yeshomrim la'atzmam. So who gets the knas? Well, the father gets the knas, but some say that she herself gets the knas. What? La'atzmam. I said, what happened to the pasuk? What are we talking about over here? No, Omer Chis, we're talking about a particular case. The question over there is between the Yesh Omrim and the Tanakama in that braita, that cryptic braita, very cryptic, doesn't give us any information. Who gets the knas? Now you got to sit there and figure it's a riddle. You have to figure out the answer to this riddle. Where could we have a machlokas about who gets the knas? Says Rav Chisda. Here's the answer to the riddle. We're clearly talking about a nara who had been nit arsa and now with nit garsha. And how could there be a machlokas? This is Rabbi Akiva speaking to himself. So some say in Rabbi Akiva that the bin is the knas is latzma. That's the Mishnah. Some say the knas is latzma. Yeah, that's Rabbi Akiva in the Braita, which we now created this little cryptic conversation to tell us the trait on my little Rabbi Akiva. It's a nice riddle for your Shabbos table. Good. Amar Abaye. And here was the Abaye that we referred to earlier about the why we can't use V'natan Lavia Nahara. The Ba'aleh Umeita Pater. Rabbi's Chiddush is that if the person now had been a Ma'anes or Mefata and she died before there was a collection of the Knas, so there wasn't even Amar Abedin. So there the father can no longer sue the Ones and Mefata. Because it says that it has to be Natan La Avia Na'ara. And at this point, where he's now coming to collect, he's no longer the Avia Na'ara. He is now the father of the deceased, and unfortunately will not be known as the father of the young woman. Now, that's how Abaye learns it. It's clear that not everybody agrees to that, because Milta the Pshita Lila Abaye, Abaye's approach, in which this is something that's clear to him, and that what the Torah would never have referred to a case of Meta to an Avia Na'ara, is actually very not clear according to Rava. Mi boy Leila Rava, the boy Rava. Because we find that Rava asks a Sha'ila about whether Yesh Beger Bekever or Ein Beger Bekever. Now we took that to mean the case was that someone had raped or seduced a Na'ara. She went ahead and died before there was a chance for her for the father to take him to court, and now it's basically 6 months later, whatever it is, whatever point it was that she was at, and had she been alive at this point, she would no longer be a Na'ara. That's what it sounds like Rav is asking. Had she been alive, she would no longer be a Na'ara. So is the fact that she's dead, does that permanently count as her always being a Na'ara, or at this point, is it too late for the father to sue? Or maybe the question is, does it go to herself, or does it go to the father? The knas. And if it goes to herself, then it would be given over to her yorshim, which Tosfos has a big problem with, because or you're not morish knas. But I'm going to have to explain why the Gemara. But in any event, this, in the end, none of this is going to be true. So it's not worth torturing ourselves. The Gemara is going to ask that also. The Gemara will get to that. So do we say yesh beger bekever v'dibinahavi the knas? Therefore, there's no father. And she would get the knas herself. It seems, according to this, that Rava now doesn't have any suffix in Abaye. Definitely there's a knas. Now the only question is who gets the knas. So at this point, what the Gemara says, Misakale LaRava, is not really accurate. It's not Misakale LaRava. However, we will see when we soon reach the end of the sugya that it's very accurate indeed. Asks the Gemara Rav David's question, Umina Abra? Could she have become pregnant at a time that would have allowed her to have an heir so that when she dies, she's still a Na'ara? Because that would mean that she must have gotten pregnant as a Ketana in order to be able to have a child before she became a Bogeret, because it's only 6 months between Katnut and Na'arut. And the problem is, as we know, Atani Rabbi Bekamid Rabbi Nachman, Shalosh Nashim Misham Shot Bemoch, we have once again the Chiyav for the Heter to use contraceptives in three cases. A ketana, as we'll see, because she may get pregnant and die, but it's not, certainly not the liver. A ketana, a mu'uberet, and a menika. Ketana, shema titaber v'tamut. A mu'uberet, shema teyase ubra sandal. She may become pregnant again, although it's a rare occasion, in which case you'll damage the first fetus. And a menika, shema tigmolet benda. She may end up losing her milk if she's now naked, which is dangerous. When we talk about a ketana, we're talking about a child who is close to puberty and therefore may actually ovulate, become pregnant, and be unable to bear the pregnancy and die. But if it's before the age of 11, it's too rare to have ovulation. If it's after that, she can have a child. So if she's over 12 years old, it's not a problem. So pachot mikan v'yeter arkein mishameshi kedarkava olechet divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, what does she need contraceptives for at that point? She can continue to just act like a normal person. Chachomim omer achazu v'achazu mishamer shet kedarkava olechet min ha-shamayim yirachamu shenamar shomer psayim Hashem. If she's that stupid, let her be stupid. God takes care of the symbol. But in any event, I can remember we've spoken about this many times. Machlokas v'shenim, whether this means she has to use contraceptives or doesn't have to, is the machlokas Rabbi Meir the Chachomim? Or she's allowed to or not allowed to. Of course, there's a lot of contemporary applications of halacha. Now, what are you going to say, therefore, is the solution? V'chi tema. Maybe you'll say, no, it's not referring to her getting pregnant when she was a ketana. She got pregnant when she was already a nara. And the question is, yesh beger of the kever, because she got pregnant on the day that she became a bat mitzvah. So she's now a nara. And what a way to celebrate a bat mitzvah. V'chi tema di abra kashi nara. You're going to tell me that she got pregnant the day of her Naharut, Va'olidakshi Nahara, had a child while she was still a Nahara, and then died, and now the question is, Yesh Berrigan, no, she's only got 6 months. And in 6 months, she doesn't have 6 months in a day. Now, if she had 6 months in a day, then we'd be talking, because then she could have a 7th month gestation early, but she doesn't have 6 months in a day. Because the problem is, b'shita yachemika yalda, she can't have it 6 months, because how much will, ein bein na'arut v'bagrut ela shisha chodashim. Exactly. Now, maybe you'll say that what Shmuel is saying is, you never have less than 6 months of puberty. But you might have more, depending on the person. So in other words, it's not that we measure from the onset of puberty 6 months, and then no matter what, she's now a bogeret. Maybe what Shmuel, who's a doctor, is saying, there's always a minimum of 6 months, but some women develop more slowly. Maybe it takes her 3 years until all of her signs come in, and therefore she's now a bogeret, right? No siree, that's not what it means. And maybe you'll think, batsir, who the lekker is, no less than 6 months, but there might be more than 6 months, in which case there is enough time for her to get pregnant, have a child, and die. The dying part's hard. But she might be able to get all those in within that time. Maybe she's got 2 years in her case, right? No, not true, because Ella ka'ama. He says, ain't bain Ella. There's no time but 6 months. There's never more. You don't have that extra day to die on, to give birth on and die on. Right? So now, if that's the case, if there's no beggar, what's he asking? Mm-hmm. Ella, therefore, hakikami barley. What Rava must have been asking is this. Yesh beggar bekever upaka'av. Odilma ain't beggar bekever velopaka'av. The shaila is, did the father lose his ability to be toveya? Because now the guy, there's no longer somebody to be toveya him. She's dead. The father doesn't have any rights.
Because she's too old.
No, because she's dead. Oh, the father doesn't have any rights because she's already old. To be. Yeah. That's the question. But that would imply that, I mean, there's definitely over here the shaila of the existence of the knas. Or marba ravashi barley hachi mita osa bagrut or inosa bagrut. Another way of putting it is not that there was enough time that had she been alive she would have been a bogeret. But what Rava was asking is whether the death of a nara is the equivalent of growing up. You can't die without growing up. What it really means is that the death removes the shursus of the father the same way that Bagrut would have removed the shursus of the father. It doesn't have anything to do with the passage of time, which is nonsensical. She's already dead. But the shaila is, maybe he loses the rights in the same way. Then, that's Abaya's question. In other words, Abaya said, well, he's no longer the Aviyah Nahara, he's the Aviyah Meita. But that's exactly what this boils down to. Does the fact that she died means he's no longer the Aviyah Nahara? That's the question. So we see, therefore, at last, in the final analysis of what it was that Rava was interested in, basically he was interested in what Abaya had taken for granted as being the meaning of the pasuk, Aviyah Nahara v'lo Aviyah Meita. And he's saying, I wonder if that's true. So Milta, the Pshita Leila Abaye, was actually Misapkele.
Was a fake Abaye.
Yeah, you didn't know what the difference was. So that's Misapkele, the Rava.